If you ever get the opportunity, I would encourage you to find and to read accounts of the martyrs and to think about how and why they died for the sake of Christ. I'm not saying you should read it for the violence as if you're somehow looking for some kind of entertainment like watching a movie. But I would want you to consider how they acted when faced with suffering, how they acted when faced with death. I would call for you to consider their calmness and to see how they prayed, how they sang, and how they even joked as they suffered the worst things. To consider a man like Stephen, for example, who, beaten with rocks, prayed for his murderers as he died. Or to consider a man like Lawrence, who was grilled alive, and how he could make a joke about being turned over because he was not afraid of death. Or even Felicity, who was torn by wild beasts and yet found the time to do up her hair so that she would not seem to be mourning as she died. Yes, in all of these cases, Christians, and in many more, the martyrs were fearless and confident because they could see what we so often fail to see. They had their eyes fixed on God. And looking up to God, they could face all things. They could be steadfast, even in the face of death. And we see this same kind of confidence in our Old Testament reading, in the prophet Elijah so long ago. Because Elijah was faced with a very fearful situation in his own day. The king of Syria was making war upon the northern kingdom of Israel. And the king of Syria had set up an ambush in the hopes of attacking Israel and defeating them. But God made known to Elisha what the king of Syria was doing. And Elisha warned the king of Israel what was happening, so that the king of Syria was not nearly as successful as he had hoped to be. And he was enraged by this. And when he found out that Elisha was the reason why he had failed, he sent a great army to capture him, sending horses and chariots, which were the strongest weapons that existed in those days, along with a great number of infantry, all hoping to capture him and kill him. And this great army was marching to Dothan, where Elisha was. And the city of Dothan was 10 miles north of Samaria, Samaria being the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. So that meant then that this army was marching right into the heart of the kingdom. It was an unstoppable force right on the doorstep of the king. And on top of all of this, this great army came by night, surrounding the city of Dothan while they were all asleep, so that nobody had any idea what was going on. You can imagine what it was like for Elisha's servant when he woke up that morning. He probably woke up just like he always did, got ready just like he always did. He was probably even going out to do his chores just like he always did, only to find a great army around the city. What seemed like just another day to him suddenly seemed like it would be his last. Is it any wonder then that he cries out in fear, saying to his master, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" But why was he so afraid? He was afraid, Christians, because all he could see was the army in front of him. All he could see was the defeat that seemed inevitable. He was so focused on what was right in front of him that he couldn't see anything else. And for that reason, he became afraid. And how often do we do the same thing, Christians? How often do we become so focused on what is in front of us that we can't see anything else? We turn on the news, for example, and we hear about disasters all throughout the world, and we wonder if things are ever going to get better. We look at our nation and see how it is falling apart, and we start to reminisce and talk about how good things used to be. We look at our sickness, and we wonder if we're ever going to get through it, if things will ever get better. We look at our suffering, and all we can think about is the pain and all the things that we're going to have to put up with. And we wonder how we'd be able to do it. We even look at death, and we wonder what is going to come because of it. What is on the other side? Yes, Christians, when we become focused on what is right in front of us, it is so very easy for us to be afraid, because then it becomes like shadows in the dark, shadows that cause us to fear because we can't quite make them out. We can't see past them and see them for what they really are. But Elisha is not afraid. He's not even worried. He says to his servant, verse 16, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." "Don't be afraid," he says. "This is a tiny army. There's nothing to be scared of at all." And he prays that God would open the eyes of the young man, and God does open his eyes, and an amazing sight appears before them. All around them on the mountain, surrounding the Syrian army, is another great host, full of fiery horses and fiery chariots. It is the great angelic army of the Lord. And this innumerable army has come to protect those who trust in God. God's army is stronger than the Syrian army. And the Syrians don't even have any idea just how much danger they're really in. Because all God would have to do is just say the word, and like that, the army would be defeated. It's just like a couple hundred years later when a single angel strikes down 185,000 soldiers at one time. Or Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane saying that if he wanted to, he could have more than 12 legions of angels immediately under his command. God's power is very great. What could the Syrians do? If God is for us, Christians, who can be against us? And what a difference it makes to see the power of God. Because then we are no longer stumbling around in the dark. Then we are walking in the light of the Lord and able to see things for what they really are. Why should we fear evil? Knowing that God will judge all things and will make all things right. Why should we fear suffering? Knowing that God can turn even these things into the greatest good. Why should we fear death? Knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ is alive, and that he has broken the power of death by his resurrection. When we keep our eyes on God, Christians, then we will be able to laugh like the martyrs did, to laugh even in the face of death. And we can be confident like Elisha, knowing that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But Elisha's confidence also shows us why this confidence shapes how we live now. Because Elisha does not wait for God to strike this army down, although God certainly could have done that. Nor does Elisha mock and gloat, saying, "You're going to get what's coming to you." Rather, Elisha prays that God would strike them with blindness. Not a literal blindness, but just so that they couldn't recognize him. And then he says in verse 19, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led them to Samaria. Now remember, this army had come to capture him. They were looking for him. And yet now here he was, going out in front of the army, totally unafraid, leading them the 10 miles south to Samaria. And when they got to Samaria, God opened their eyes so that they discovered that they had been captured. God had given a great victory to Israel, and no one had died at all. They'd been taken without a fight. But what does Elisha do in this situation? Does he take advantage of it? Does he take all of these captured soldiers and kill them so that he could eliminate any possible future threat so they'd never have to worry about the Syrians again? That's what the king of Israel wants to do. No. Elisha shows them mercy. He gives them food. He gives them water. And he sends them home to their master. Now, why does he do that? Is it because he's a fool? An idiot? Was he naive? Was he unwilling to do what should have been done in that moment? Not at all. His confidence in God led him to show that mercy. He was so confident in the power of God that he could treat his enemies like brothers. Because he knew that God held the future in his hands. Even if the Syrians came back, even if all of this seemed to have been for nothing, he still trusted in the Lord. He knew that God would deliver them again and again, because there is no power greater than God. Even if we suffer, Christians, even if we suffer the same things over and over and over again, God is in command. So there is no need for us to fear what might happen if I do what God wants me to do. I can do it in full confidence, knowing that it is the right thing, and knowing that I am in the hands of God. Therefore, let us be like Elisha, knowing that those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Let us be like the martyrs, keeping our eyes fixed on God through all things. But above all, Christians, as the book of Hebrews tells us, let us keep our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. There is no reason for us to fear anything in this world, because Jesus is the refuge of those who trust in him. Let us pray. Lord God of hosts, whose kingdom cannot be shaken and whose reign never comes to an end, protect us from every danger and teach us to look to you through every evil, because you are the stronghold of those who trust in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.